inshallah. Salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Okay. Inshallah, tonight I'll be reading around 2 pages from Surah At-Tawbah, from ayahs 107 until 117. Inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. والذين اتخذوا مسجدا ضرارا وكفرا وتفريقا بين المؤمنين وإرصادا لمن حارب الله ورسوله من قبل وليحلفن إن أردنا إلا الحسنى والله يشهد إنهم لكاذبون لا تقم فيه أبدا لمسجد أسس على التقوى من أول يوم أحق أن تقوم فيه فيه رجال يحبون أن يتطهروا والله يحب المطهرين أفمن أسس بنيانه على تقوى من الله ورضوان خير أم من أسس بنيانه على شفا جرف هار فانهار به في نار جهنم والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين لا يزال بنيانهم الذي بنوا ريبة في قلوبهم إلا أن تقطع قلوبهم والله عليم حكيم إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة يقاتلون في سبيل الله فيقتلون ويقتلون وعدا عليه حقا في التوراة والإنجيل والقرآن ومن أوفى بعهده من الله فاستبشروا ببيعكم الذي بايعتم به وذلك هو الفوز العظيم التائبون العابدون الحامدون السائحون الراكعون الساجدون الآمرون بالمعروف والناهون عن المنكر والحافظون لحدود الله وبشر المؤمنين ما كان للنبي والذين آمنوا أن يستغفروا للمشركين ولو كانوا أولي قربى من بعد ما تبين لهم أنهم أصحاب الجحيم وما كان استغفار إبراهيم لأبيه إلا عن موعدة وعدها إياه فلما تبين له أنه عدو لله تبرأ منه إن إبراهيم لأواه حليم وما كان الله ليضل قوما بعد إذ هداهم حتى يبين لهم ما يتقون إن الله بكل شيء عليم إن الله له ملك السماوات والأرض يحيي ويميت وما لكم من دونه من ولي ولا نصير لقد تاب الله على النبي والمهاجرين والأنصار الذين اتبعوه في ساعة العسرة من بعد ما كاد يزيغ قلوب فريق منهم ثم تاب عليهم إنه بهم رؤوف رحيم صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوات.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله، السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My topic for the night is Ahlul Bayt and the Quran stand against racism. To begin, the Prophet was sent to a community filled with racism. Quraysh was filled with racism. The Arabs at the time were filled with racism. Not even racism, but sexism and prejudice, to the point where if they had a daughter over a son, they would bury her alive. To the point where the slave trade was avid. The slave trade, before it came to America, it was where? In Arabia, with the Arabs. And when the Prophet came, he was sent to abolish this. The Quran told him it wasn't okay. One specific verse, it says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرًا وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. That, O you people, we created you in nations and tribes from different colors and languages so you would come together, so you would mingle with one another. And then we look at what the Prophet did. The Prophet avidly contributed into freeing slaves, into teaching slaves, making them literate, making sure that there was a society without slaves. And then we look at his successor, Imam Ali. What did Imam Ali do when it came to slaves? Imam Ali, when there was a person that wrote to him saying that one of his governors had abused him, what did he write to the governor? He said, "Innasu sinfan, imma akhun laka fid din aw nadhirun laka fil khalq." That people are of two types. Either he is your brother in religion or your equal in humanity. That you must not treat anybody lower than you because they are at least your equal in humanity. No matter what your station is, no matter how learned you are, how rich you are, whatever, they are your equal in humanity. And then we look to Imam Hussein. What was Imam Hussein's part in dismantling racism? Imam Hussein was met with one of the worst tyrants of the history of the world, Yazid ibn Muawiyah. Yazid ibn Muawiyah was not just a man that was racist. He was a bigot, he was a mushrik, a kafir, he was a drunkard, he was a womanizer, he was everything you could name. And of those, he was a racist. Why? Because at his time, he had created an elite society where only him and his friends were at the top. And if you weren't below him, as one of his servants, as one of his slaves, then you were nothing to him. You were disposable to be killed at any time. And Imam Hussein had the choice to stay quiet. He could have easily stayed quiet and lived a very happy and long life. But under what? Under the fate of knowing he was living under a ruler like that. He was staying quiet to a ruler like that. So he decided to take a stand. And did he have a huge army behind him? No. 72 of his companions. 72. But he took the stand nonetheless. And we see that the famous narrator and the famous scholar, the renowned historian Ibn Khaldun, tells us that history is cyclical. History is a cycle. It repeats itself. And those that do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. So what do we see in the 21st century? We see the 21st century is filled with a bunch of rulers that follow who? That follow Yazid ibn Muawiyah. That follow his example. If we want to name those rulers, I'll be up here for another hour. But to name a few, Muhammad bin Salman, Muhammad bin Rashid, our own former President Donald Trump and his cronies, Rudy Giuliani, Mike Pence, Pompeo, all of them. Who do they follow? They're obviously not following our imams, right? They're not following any legitimate rulers. Who are they following? They're following Yazid ibn Muawiyah and his father, Muawiyah. They're following the likes of them. So when we were faced with the choice, what did we do? Did we stay quiet to these despots, to these rulers? Look back a year ago, the Black Lives Matter movement. When our own president, Donald Trump, was allowing his own people to die. Right? He was allowing his own people, who by the way are the white supremacists, let's make that clear. He was allowing them to murder the Americans he swore to protect. What did we do? Did we sit there and quietly let it happen? No. We took the example of who? Of Imam Hussein. We stood up. There were protests. For almost, what, 4 months? Did you hear about a day go by that there wasn't a protest? No, why? Because we had a ruler that taught us what to do. When you look back at history through the civil rights movement, one of the most famous civil rights activists, Malcolm X, who does he quote to say he followed? He says he followed in the footsteps of who? Imam Hussein. On multiple occasions, he's quoted Imam Hussein and said that without Imam Hussein, I wouldn't have the courage to stand up here. I wouldn't have the courage to speak. And nowadays, we look to modern day. So what battle are we fighting? The battle of Palestine versus Israel. Again, we had the option to stay quiet. Would it have affected any of us if we stayed quiet? No, we'd go on living our everyday lives. We live in America where we're sheltered. This doesn't affect us, right? We're not the ones getting bombed. We're not the ones losing our families. It doesn't matter to us. We can sit here and forget about the whole situation. Why are we worrying about it? Because when you follow in the footsteps of our imams, you see that even if the situation itself isn't affecting you. Because again, Imam Hussein could have stayed quiet and it wouldn't have affected him. Sure, there would have been corruption, but I mean, he would have been safe, right? He could have stayed in Mecca and he would have been okay. But what did he do? He sacrificed his own life because even though it wasn't affecting him, it was affecting other people and he couldn't stand for that. It was affecting his religion. It was affecting the memory of his grandfather and he couldn't stand for that. And we took that same example. So when it comes to the Ahlul Bayt stand against racism, they did more than just speak out against racism. Imam Hussein used more than just his words. He showed us that the saying is true, that actions are louder than words. Because although he only had 72 with him, we have more than 72 now. We have 72,000, 72 million that are willing to follow our cause. Why? Because it started with 72. It started with that small ripple. So when you see some injustice, speak up. And you might be one person, 10 people, 15 people. But when your story spreads, then the numbers begin rising. Then people realize that this is incorrect. But it starts with a small number. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati hallat bifina'ik wa ana akhad birahlik. Alaykum minni jami'an salamullah abadan ma baqiti wa baqiya al-layla wa al-nahar. ولا جعله الله آخر العهد من لزيارتهم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Thank you very much, Muhammad and Ali. May Allah protect you. Inshallah, bless you. I would like to welcome everybody for our fourth night of Muharram of year, correction from the previous days, 1443. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have accepted all your supplications and your presence in the mosque and other places, inshallah. And I would like to thank all of you for observing the protocols of this pandemic. I really appreciate that. Just as a reminder, I'm not a doctor or anything that I know about these issues, but you know, since I've witnessed a couple cases that I wanted to share with you, that's important for our community here, and especially those who come to this mosque for the safety of everybody in here. I have already known three people who had taken the vaccinations and they caught COVID-19. So it's something serious right now. And I really appreciate it. And if you see the doors are open, we're trying to, you know, protect and keep you all safe, inshallah. So if you hear an airplane coming and going, please, you know, accept our apologies. And from tomorrow, not tomorrow, day after tomorrow night, inshallah, we'll be serving food. But it's all going to be packed, coming from the restaurant, outside, and everybody who leaves, inshallah, will take one and go. And we'll definitely ask the place who are doing this to also remind them to observe all the protocols that is regarding this pandemic. So those of you who would like to share you know, or support this cause, and they would like to sponsor a night. We have a couple nights already sponsored, although we have much more expenses than just the food. But if you would like to share, you know, a night of sponsoring one of the nights for dinner, please see me after the program. Without any further ado, I would like to invite our dear brother, Sayyid Ja'far al-Qazwini, to the podium with the last salawat.
السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله. استغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة يا ليتنا كنا معكم سيدي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وجاءت سكرة الموت بالحق ذلك ما كنت منه تحيد. صدق الله العلي العظيم. The topic for tonight, I called it Death and Beyond. If there is a universally accepted point that no two people disagree upon, that must be the subject of death and dying. No one can negate or question the fact that one day we will perish, one day we will die. Any sane person would not claim that. However, looking at our own lifestyles and our daily activities, we can tell that we are so oblivious and unconscious about that. Hardly we think about something coming as death. In any planning, in any future planning that we have, we always discuss the incident, the situation, the subject, with our relatives, with our friends, with our spouses. But how many of us ever discusses his or her death with her relatives? Do we mention that? No, at all. Why? Because, first of all, it is an unknown, a great unknown to us. And second, we fear death. It's very morbid. Something that brings shiver and panic and terror to our conscience when we think of death. Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam has a beautiful word. He says that ما خلق الله عز وجل يقينا لا شك فيه أشبه بشك لا يقين فيه من الموت. There is no certainty God has created so close to shek. And shak here means uncertainty, meaning that he said that there is no certainty with so much doubt as much as death God has not created. You see, it's a certain. Anyone you would ask, you say, yes, certainly we will die. But then are we prepared for death? They tell you, nah, We're not. Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam says, عَجِبْتُ لِمَنْ نَسِيَ الْمَوْتِ وَهُوَ يَرَى الْمَوْتِ. We see death by our eyes. But to us, death to me, you know, is as far as 20, 30 light years away. I'm unconscious, that is only a few steps away from me. My grave is only a few steps away. We do not think of it. Even when you do research and studies, how many studies, how many scientific researches have been done, researches have been done about death and dying? Not many. And if they're done, only in the medical and scientific form, only in medical form. What is death is about? How is the dying person, you know, goes through the rattles of death? But anything beyond, it is a closed subject. It's very, you know, hidden subject. People do not discuss it and do not talk about it. Of course, this is natural. All human beings act that way. Al-Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam has been asked at the time of death, are you terrified? He said, yes, I am terrified. Why, Ibn Rasulullah? You're an immaculate. You're part of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. He said that because inni abki lkhaslatayn, I am weeping for two reasons. Number one, lihawl al-muttala, a terrifying unknown thing that is awaiting for us. Wa firaq al-ahabba, because we have to leave and abandon our loved ones. We miss our loved ones. So the unknown, the great unknown, is the most terrifying thing. This is one reason. And the second, because we have messed up our lives. Because we have done so much wrongdoing. That's why we hate to face up with our own deeds later on. We don't know what's going on. Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam again has this beautiful word. After your salawat, it says, وَلَوْ قَدْ عَايَنْتُمْ مَا عَامَا قَدْ عَايَنَ مَنْ مَاتَ مِنْكُمْ لَجَزِعْتُمْ وَوَهَلْتُمْ وَسَمِعْتُمْ وَأَطَعْتُمْ. If you would see what someone who's dying sees, then you will be terrified with an anxiety. You will be struck with an anxiety. And at that time, when you hear the maw'idha, the exhortation, you would listen and you would follow. وَلَكِنْ مَحْجُوبٌ عَنْكُمْ مَا عَيَنُ. But there is an iron curtain in front of your eyes that you do not see. وَقَرِيبًا مَا يُكْشَفُ الْغَطَى. This iron curtain will be removed and then you will see everything in front of you. In my talk today, brothers and sisters, we would like to see again, scholarly, what happens? What is death? In terms of science, in terms of, in an academic way, you know, let's keep the scare tactic away, preaching away, exhorting and admonishing away. But let's try to understand what happens, you know, during that last few moments that we spend in this life and what happens beyond death. You know, of course, I don't claim that I can do a good job, but I have tried to collect, you know, different resources from there and here and there to present it to you. Let's look at it from a medical and scientific aspect. Ask any doctor, any physician, what is death? Everyone has their own interpretations and definitions. In fact, back in the 1700s, in the 17th century, they used to say, in the scientific term at that time, definition of death, is someone who stops breathing. Anyone who cannot breathe and stop breathing, is that considered to be the moment of death? Later on, as the mechanical ventilators were invented and used to deliver air and oxygen to the lung of the patient, of course, no more patient or less patients started to die from breathing. Therefore, the definition in the 18th century changed and became death is the moment that the heart stopped beating. When someone's heart starts beating, that person is considered to be dead. Again, with the advancements of science and technology, and the new technology, again, this is a mechanical technology, is called CPR, which is cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Don't get it confused with PCR. PCR is the test that we do for coronavirus. This is polymerase chain reaction. This is something. But CPR is the cardiopulmonary resuscitation where you push on the chest of the diseased because his heart is stopped. This is an emergency technique in order to revive the heartbeat again, and the heart starts to work. Of course, there are nowadays machines, defibrillators, that bring shock to the heart and bring back heart again to work. So with the advancement of science, again, they changed the definition of death. No longer is considered somebody that his heart is stopped is considered to be dead. So they changed the subject again. Now, the locus of death have shifted toward the brain. They tell you any brain damage, any stroke in the brain, the person who suffers a stroke in the brain and fall unconscious, then is considered to be dead. Again, with the advancements of science, you know, a point that is called CVA. I think it's called cerebrum vascular accident. Again, this moment also reversible with the, you know, advances of technology. They reverse the situation. So a brain dead person also can be conscious again and come back again to life. So as you can see, the medical terminology stopped giving a universal and coherent and comprehensive definition. Nowadays, they tell you anything that is irreversible, that causes irreversible damage in the brain or irreversible damage in the heart or respiratory system or the autonomic functions of the body, irreversible meaning that you cannot come back again, then that is considered to be death. Any irreversible cessation of the vital functions of a human body is considered to be death. Why so much discrepancies and differences? For two reasons. Number one is the advances in the medical technology. As we progress, I remember when I came to this country back in 1989, they used to say that the lifespan for men was about 68, 67 years old. That back in the 80s. Nowadays, they say here in the United States, is 79 to 80 years old. So the lifespan has elongated. The reason is, number one, is because thanks to the advancement in medical technologies. So that was number one. The second, you see, brothers and sisters, they talk about death in a physical terminology, in a materialistic way. But when we ask a lay person, someone who believes in the higher power, someone who's religious, you tell him, what is death? Tell you, death is a transition between a life in this dunya, a materialistic life, and the life in the akhirah, in the hereafter. So this is a transition period. So those scientists would see only one side of the death. They do not see the other side, the metaphysical side of death. Therefore, they keep changing the definitions. But when you recite any script, holy script like Quran, you don't see that it talks about reversible or irreversible death. In the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have only one death. In fact, it says, وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. When the time of death is arriving and arrives, خلاص, that's it, we're gone. There is no reversible movement. You cannot come back again to life. Maybe they were two or three incidents that Quran attests to that. One of them is Nabiullah Uzair, أو كالذي مر على قرية وهي خاوية على عروشها. And then he saw a few dead people. Then he said, how could Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect this? And na yuhyi Allahu hadhihi al-qaryata ba'da mawtiha. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him die and resurrected him. This is one. And the other incident in Surah Al-Baqarah, thousands of people, they escaped death. They were terrified. They left death. فَقَالَ لَهُمُ اللَّهُ مُوتُ. They died. And then again, he brought them back to life. But beside those two incidents, we don't have any incident that someone dies and come back again to life. So death, in terms of a materialistic term, means something. And a metaphysical term means something else. In metaphysical terminology, death is composed of soul and body. The separation between soul and body is considered to be death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to that. Says, لَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَبْصُرُونَ. The soul, when it gets to حُلْقُومِ, to the throat, that is the time of death. In another ayah, it says, كَلَّا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ التَّرَاقِي وَقِيلَ مَرَّاقِ. تَرَاقِي, again, تَرْقُوَ. These are the terminology in English. The bones that are called tarqwa, that is the moment that the soul gets to that point and then departs the body. At that time, death happens. Now, there is a special term given to the moment of death in Quran. It's called ihtidhar. The ayah says, "Hadara ahad hatta lawla fa'idha hadara ahadakum al-maut." When death becomes a present, becomes, you know, imminent and a present. The word ihtidhar, presentation. What does it mean, present? The scholars give multiple reasons why God called this ihtidhar as a present. One, it tells you because the malaika, the angels of death, they all present at that time. It's an encounter between the diseased and the angels. They come to take the soul away. Sometimes it is multiple, sometimes it is one angel of death, and sometimes multiple. They come to take the life away, the soul away. In an ayah says, الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ ظَالِمِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. In another ayah says, الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ in طَيِّبِينَ. Two different people, of course. But eventually are a bunch of angels who come and take the souls away. And sometimes, ملك الموت. قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وَكِّلَ بِكُمْ. It is the encounter between Malak al-Maut and the deceased is considered, they say, is called ihtidhar. When they meet, when they are present, one reference is to that incident. Now, sometimes the personality is so high. The person is so important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take the soul away. It is narrated from Al-Imam al-Sadiq on the day of Ashura, when Imam Hussein was on the ground, on those last moments, when the angel of death went to take the soul of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, he hesitated. Allah told him, what's going on? He said, I am captivated by the look of Hussein. His eminence is so much that I hesitate to take the life of Hussein. He tells him, Ya Malak al-Maut, set aside. Then he called upon the soul of Hussein, said, Ya ayyatuha an-nafs al-mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya. And it was Allah who took the soul of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. This is according to the narration of Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. The second reason that is called ihtidhar, it tells you that we are presented with our a'mal, our deeds. You know, we do millions of things. Eventually, on the moment of death, we come to encounter them. فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يرى ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يرى. The Prophet peace be upon him, he says, إنما هي أعمالكم ترد إليكم. It is your deeds that Allah send it back to you. You will face your a'mal, your deed on that last moment. God will tell you, this is what you have done. Take it with you to the grave. Ali ibn Abi Talib says, at the time of death, three things will appear: the children, the wealth, and the deed. The children will tell the deceased that we are with you until the graveyard. You know, right on the brink of the graveyard. We will dig the graveyard. We will put you in the grave. And khalas, until that minute, we are with you. But later on, you're by your own. The wealth will tell the deceased, I will give you the shroud that they will wrap you with. And then you are at your own, no longer. But the amal that will tell the deceased that I am with you. أَنَا قَرِينُكَ فِي قَبْرِكَ. I'm your soulmate. You may have a spouse, but I am the soulmate. I am the one who will stay with you. أَنَا قَرِينُكَ فِي قَبْرِكَ وَصَاحِبُكَ حِينَ نَشْرِكَ. I am your soulmate when you are back again during resurrection. حَتَّى نَرِدَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. So until God will see us, I will not leave you. Here we need to think about our deeds, brothers and sisters. A poet in Arabic has very beautiful poetry. Abu al-Atahiyya. I recite it and translate it. He says, سَتُبَاشِرُ التَّرْبَاء خَدَّكَ. One day, your face will be touching the floor, the ground. وَسَيَضْحَكُ الْبَاكُونَ بَعْدَكَ. Those who wept when you died, they will be laughing again. Don't think that they will keep weeping forever. لو قد رحلت عن القصور وطيبها وسكنت لحدك. When you depart your mansions, your palaces, and end up in your lahad, in your graveyard, لم تنتفع إلا بفعل صالح قد كان بعدك. Only the good deed that will come and rescue. وترى الذين تركت مالك بينهم حصصا وكدك. Those people who have inherited your wealth, your energy, you have worked so hard and piled so much wealth, look at them, what they are doing. يَتَلَذَّذُونَ بِمَا جَمَعْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فَقْدَكَ. They enjoy what you have left for them, and they never miss you. Maybe a few days they will cry, weep, and eventually they leave. I had a friend in the United Arab Emirates when I used to live there. One day he told me about someone that we both know. He said that this guy, on the day of his father's death, he was laughing and happy. I told him, why you're happy? He said that this bastard, excuse my language, said this bastard had so much money, he never gave it to us. Today I am, you know, very happy to reach that money. We used to live in poverty, but he was a millionaire. Now that he's dead, everything came to us. So this is the fact, brothers and sisters. The only thing that is remaining is our a'mal. So this is the second factor, the second thing that we are presented with on the moment of death. The third one, which is the most dangerous, is حضور الشيطان. Iblis, the sworn enemy of a human being, of Bani Adam, will present at that moment. In the moment of death, the most critical, the most weak point that we have, the most compromising point that we have, Shaytan, Iblis, and his children, and his soldiers will appear in front of us. Why? They want to pledge of allegiance. They want us to pledge for them. That's the moment that Shaytan is waiting for us. God has given him the permission. Told the Almighty, leave me, give me freedom that I will be with Bani Adam until last moment of his life. And the Lord gave him that. And at the same time, he gave us also the gate of repentance, that we repent even in the last moment. Here is a difficult moment, brothers and sisters. At that time, Shaytan will trick us, will tell us, if you listen to me, If you bow to me, if you pledge allegiance to me, I will save you from this death. You know, I will do something that you will be alive again. What should be our answer? Should we say yes or should we say no? You see, in this life, if we have practiced to say no to shaitan, then we will say no to shaitan. But in this life, if we kept saying yes and yes and yes, then definitely on that last moment, again, we will say yes. And إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالِ بِخَوَاتِيمِهَا. Look at the last moment, what happened to us. Our deeds are concealed and sealed by the last action of us. If the last action is good, then we are saved. Otherwise, into hell. Therefore, our imams have taught us so many du'as and prayers that we recite on that last moment. You know the one that we recite in Qunut, La ilaha illallah al-Halim al-Kareem. If you keep reciting this every day, in every prayer, every time, this is the good time, the best time again on the moment of death. This will save us. This will come to our rescue. Another one is Dua al-Adila. That starts with Shahid Allahu annahu la ilaha illa huwa wal malaikatu wa ulul ilmi qa'iman bil qis, until the end of this dua. We recite it. If you have somebody at home, some of your relatives, some of your friends, on those last moments, rattles of death, recite Dua al-Adila to keep shaitan away from the person. The fourth category that will be present on the moment of death is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa al-a'imma. Allahumma salli. It is narrated that any mu'min who passes away in that moment, he will see the infallibles. They will come to his rescue. One thing that they will ask the angel of death, tell him, Ya Malak al-Mawt, rifqan biwaliyina. Give him some leniency. Don't be harsh on him. The narration says, the Malak al-Mawt says, Ya Mawaliya, inni la'arfaqu bihi min walidin rafiq wa akhun shafiq. I am very lenient, very pleasant with him, more than a tolerant father, more than a compassionate brother. I will take care of him. He is on my hand right now. I will be more merciful than his mother and his father. These are narrations from Ahlul Bayt that any believer who dies will face them. In another hadith, it says that no, anyone who dies, he will see them, especially Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. There is a poetry. The Imam tells Harith al-Hamadani, he tells him, Ya Hara Hamdan, man yamut yarani. Whoever dies will end up seeing me. يعرفني طرفه وأعرفه بعينه واسمه وما فعل يا حار همدان من يمت يرني من مؤمن أو منافق قبلا يعرفني طرفه وأعرفه بعينه واسمه وما فعل. I will see the person and I can tell if this person is good or bad, a hypocrite or a believer or a kafir. This is a narration from the Imam alayhi salam. Inshallah, all of us on that moment, they would not abandon us. You see, brothers and sisters, we attend these majalis to plead with Imam Hussein. On those moments, he will come to our rescue and to be with us. So these are the moments of death, the rattles of death. What happens beyond? Science will tell you, I don't know. We work all the way until the last moment of life. Afterward, insan becomes just a piece of meat, rotten meat. And by time, as the time progresses, this body becomes rotten, more and more rotten, and start to decompose. Scientists say from the minute one, the body start to decompose in a process called autolysis. Itself start to, you know, the cells themselves start to decompose. But beyond that, we have no knowledge. Why? Because we don't know what happens in the metaphysical world, if there is a metaphysical world. We can tell you what happens in this life, but afterward, we don't even know if there is another life. So here we have to believe into the scripts. We have to believe in what Quran says, what our holy Imam says. If we consider ourselves religious, what Quran says? Quran tells you there are some people who die peacefully, happily. And there are people who die with pain, with difficulty, torture. The ayah says, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا تَوَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَضْرِبُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ وَأَدْبَارَهُمْ. Those malaika, the angels of death, will beat up those bad people, the wicked people, on their faces and on their back. This is one way of taking away their souls. The other one, it says, وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الظَّالِمُونَ فِي غَمَرَاتِ الْمَوْتِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَاسِطُوا أَيْدِيَهُمْ أَخْرِجُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ الْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونَ. You will face what you have done. So that moment after death is very critical. Either we are going this way or on the left side, that way. Now, some scholars, they say no. Adab does not start by itself, because punishment requires judgment. We have to be judged first, and judgment's only in the day of judgment, Yawm al-Qiyamah. Before Yawm al-Qiyamah, we don't have any punishment. But what is this the ayah talks about? The pain and the suffering and the torture that the kafirin and the wicked people receive. They say that, the scholars say, these are the consequences of their a'mal. Their deeds are in fact torturous. Their deeds are ugly and repulsive. You see, there is an ayah that describes this. It says, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. Those who eat up the wealth of the orphans, this is innama, in fact, they are eating hellfire. So the deed itself is a hellfire. It's a torture itself. It's ugly and repulsive itself. But the question, how come we don't feel it? How many sins we commit per day? Multiples, hundreds per day. But how come we do not feel them? Because we are desensitized. Because we have lost the sense, the true sense that God has given us, we have lost it. You see, those people who undergo surgical operations, what do doctors do to them? They give them narcotics. It's called anesthesia. Anesthesia, the beauty of anesthesia, it makes the patient unaware and desensitized, does not feel the pain. Therefore, the surgery, which is all cutting, you know, and butchering sometimes, you know, the body doesn't feel the pain, or the patient doesn't feel the pain. Why? Because he desensitized. The act of narcotics work on his nervous system and take away the pain and the awareness. But once he's out of the surgical room, into the recovery room, then you can go and see the crying and wailing. I have been there. I've seen such kind of situation. I've seen people coming out of the surgery, in the recovery room, they start to cry, full of pain. Why? Because the effect of anesthesia is gone. The same thing with us, brothers and sisters. Now, right now, the effect of anesthesia has engulfed us, overwhelmed us. We don't feel it. At what time is gone? At the time of death. لقد كنت في غفلة من هذا فكشفنا عنك غطاءك فبصرك اليوم حديد. You were in total oblivion. You didn't think. You were, you know, unconscious and subconscious of this moment. But nowadays, this iron curtain is left. Therefore, you can see and you can feel everything. So the effect of those a'mal, those bad deeds, are shown on the moment of death. If we have good deed, we become like Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, who says, Fustu wa Rabbil Kaaba, on that moment. on that moment that he was departing, he would say, لِمِثْلِ هَذَا فَلْيَعْمَلِ الْعَامِلُونَ. He would see his place in the heaven. And if we don't, then we become like those kafirin that I recited some verses about them. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Now, the soul departs the body. What happens to the soul? The scholars say two things that are limiting factors to us, they're gone. One is time, the other is space. In this life, we are limited, we are captivated by time and space. Meaning we cannot see the future. And the past is the past. We cannot go back to the past. Nor the places. Someone who is right here doesn't know what's happening, for example, in another majlis in Anaheim. Because the space controls us, limits us. These are the characteristics of this life. As we die, those two things are gone and the soul becomes free. Meaning that it can see everything and can be everywhere. This is the translation of some of the narrations, some of the ahadith. Tell you that the soul reaches its maximum potential. It can be free. It can see the future, can see the past, as well as anywhere, everywhere. A man comes to Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, tells him, Yabna Rasulullah, do the deceased feel that we go to their graveyards and pay visit to their graves? The Imam alayhi salam says, Iwallah, لَيَعْلَمُونَ بِكُمْ وَيَفْرَحُونَ وَيَسْتَأْنِسُونَ بِكُمْ. They will be very happy. They will be elated to see you when you're there. They will be extremely happy to see you. Then the person tells him, what do we say when we go to that graveyard? He says, recite this, Allahumma jafil arda an junubihim wa sa'ad ilayka arwahahum wa laqihim minka ridwana. Pray for them. There is a beautiful words of Ali ibn Abi Talib, beautiful prayers. It says, whenever you go to a cemetery, recite this prayer. It says, or this salutation, As-salamu ala ahli la ilaha illallah, min ahli la ilaha illallah, ya ahla la ilaha illallah, kayfa wajadtum qawla la ilaha illallah, min la ilaha illallah, ya la ilaha illallah, بحق لا إله إلا الله اغفر لمن قال لا إله إلا الله واحشرنا في زمرة من قال لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله علي ولي الله. He says, whoever goes and recite this, غفر الله له غفر الله سبحانه له 50 سنة, for 50 years Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him from his sins. عنه وعن أبويه, him and his parents. Whenever you go to a cemetery that have some Muslims, I'm said, you know, God worshipping people who have departed. And remember, tonight is the night of Jum'ah. It's the eve of Jum'ah. It's highly recommended that you recite Surah Al-Fatiha and you remember your deceased. This is one. The second question, can we meet them? Do we have a chance to meet those souls? The narrations varies. For certain, there are a few individuals who can meet those souls. Among them is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alayhi. The Prophet used to live in this life. Also, he could travel to the alam al-barzakh, to the metaphysical world. Where does it say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this in Surah Al-Isra, Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-harami ila al-masjid al-aqsa. That's at the time of Isra. Then Mi'raj. Thumma dana fatadalla fakana qaba qawsayni aw adna. The Mi'raj that he had, the elevations that he had, he saw the souls of the prophets. Those souls of the Prophet even prayed behind him, Salat al-Jama'ah, and he used to see them. Among other individuals that are narrated that he would see and encounter, Isa alayhi salam. One day Isa passed by a graveyard, saw a person being tortured. After a while, after lengthy time, he came back and saw this torture is gone. The deceased, in a very good moment, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's going on? I came last year, this person was tortured. Nowadays, he's very happy, elated. The Prophet, the answer came from Allah, says, كَانَ لَهُ وَلَدْ. He had a young boy. This boy grew up. فَعَبَّدَ شَارِعًا وَحَفَرَ نَهْرًا. He made a clear, there was a road. He made that road clear, paved it. وَحَفَرَ نَهْرًا. He dug a river, a well, for people, for the public to drink. فَرَفَعْنَا عَنْ وَالِدِهِ الْعَذَابِ كَرَامَةً لِوَلَدِهِ. So we removed the adab, the torture from the father, because of the action of the son. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi says, this hadith, you've heard it many times, says, إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنُ آدَمْ إِنْقَطَعَ مِنْ عَمَلِهِ إِنْقَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثِ. If someone dies, our entire action comes to stop. We cannot do anything except the three things. We benefit from the three things. One, عِلْمٌ يَنْتَفَعُ بِهِ. You leave a piece of knowledge that others will benefit from you. وَصَدَقَةٌ جَارِيَةٌ. You do a good deed that stay after your life. وَوَلَدٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْعُو لَهُ. Your children, your righteous children, will live after you and do good deed in your behalf. Ummu Salama alayha salam says, radiallahu anha, says that one day she saw the Prophet, peace be upon him, in her dream. She said that, I saw the Prophet, ra'aytu nabiyya ash'athan hazinan bakiya. I saw the Prophet full of dust, with a grief, and his eyes are full of tears. By the way, this narration, this hadith is narrated in the Sunni books of hadith, in Jami' al-Saghir, Tabarani. I'm not bringing it from our own resources. Rather, these are from the very well-worded sources of ahadith. She says that, I saw Rasulullah ash'athan hazinan bakiyan. قلت يا ابن رسول الله فداك أمي وأبي ما الأمر يا رسول الله ما الأمر فداك أمي وأبي قال قد قتلوا ولدي الحسين وللتو فرخت من دفنه. Those people, my nation, killed my son Hussein, and I just finished burying Hussein, and as you can see that I am in dust because I buried Hussein, and now I am returning. رسول الله is telling his wife, Ummu Salama, that he attended the burial of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. On that night, on the eve of 11th, when Zainab al-Kubra, she managed to take care of the children, rescue the children, bring them all back to the tent. After the enemy, you know, trampled them, run over them, burned their tents and their camp, Zainab al-Hawra brought the children and the family of Imam Hussein and the women, all gathered them in one place. When everybody rested, she made sure that everyone is sleeping. She went to the battlefield to search for her beloved brother. But how can she find the beloved brother? A beheaded body, naked body. There is no sign that she can recognize the body, the mutilated body of her beloved brothers. But the scholars say from the smell, the aroma of the body of Imam Hussein attracted Zainab to his burial site, to the killing site. She came and looked at the mutilated body of her brother. She put her hand underneath the body and left it to the sky and said, Wa Muhammadah! صلى عليك مليك السماء هذا حسين بالعراء مضرج بالدماء مسلوب العمامة والرداء لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته.